Deep news, reviews, commentary, not just another podcast.
Out of the Ordinary Pickleball Broadcast.
Hi, I'm Regular Strongback. If you or someone you love is an anonymous apostrophe flinger, please call our hot free number or give them a Charlie horse right away.
Now here comes your host, Kyle Abaron of the World Team.
Welcome to the Big Ball Broadcast. This is episode 63. My name is Kyle Abaron. I'm an LA-based voice actor. You can hear me as Ganju and Aizen on Bleach on Cartoon Network and as the narrator and Ox King on Dragon Ball Z Uncut Season 2 DVD box set available from Funimation Entertainment.
And this is your co-host, Otherworld Steve. I'm an anime journalist and webmaster of KyleAbaron.com.
This week in video games, PS3's answer to Wii Bowling, God of War goes mobile, Microsoft starts banning modded 360s, in movies, new Terminator trilogy planned, Schwarzenegger is attached, Danny Trejo says Machete is a go, Transformers 2 is also a go, He-Man live action movie, it gets a writer, yeah, progress, as opposed to Congress, okay, in tech, Shock Jocks Opie and Anthony's suspension causes huge XM listener backlash. And we've got some quick hits too, some DVD release dates, and we've got emails, we've got some contest entries for Name Otherworld Steve Baby Contest. All of this coming up on the Big Ball Broadcast. So, Steve, how be you?
My head is reeling with the thought of all that news crammed into one itty-bitty podcast.
Can it be possible?
We'll find out.
Yes, a reminder that the next 2 weeks of the Big Ball Broadcast will be Kyle-free. I am going to two conventions back-to-back, but we do have a plan B. And I don't know, should we go ahead and just drop the bomb now or just surprise folks?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm really on the fence on this one.
I can assure you guys, at least, there will be some really good content to fill the gap between this episode and the next one when I come back. All I can say is big thumbs up.
Yes, two big thumbs up.
So keep on downloading and all that stuff. Now, Steve, you just on a whim decided to check out Spider-Man 3.
It was literally just on a whim. Beck and I were eating dinner, and she turned to me and said, let's go see Spider-Man. And before I knew it, we were running out the door in the rain to our local theater to check out Sony's latest Spidey offering.
Okay, now, first off, how were the crowds? Or were there crowds?
It was a ghost town.
No way.
If I had to guess, 25 people in the theater tops.
Dude, that's crazy. So there was like, what, a 60% drop in box office returns on the second week. And then probably, since it's the third week, it's dropping even more.
I would call it probably around 85% from the first week.
Yeah, and I like to attribute that not just necessarily because of the movie itself, whatever it is, whether it's Spider-Man or whatever big box office thing, but I think that when you have a movie open in every possible theater, everyone's going to probably just see it then because of the massive opportunity to see it.
Right. And to its credit, you know, like you said, it's not really a judgment of the film itself. It has earned over $600 million worldwide in a couple weekends.
Yeah, so not exactly a box office bomb.
No. It had a $250 million production budget. It's got a profit of about $400 million right now. And this is, of course, before going to home video. So, yeah, I'd consider it a success on Sony's part.
Okay, now, this is the biggest moneymaker of the trilogy, right?
That's a good question. For some reason, I want to say this, the second one overall worldwide had a higher earning. Again, we really won't know how to gauge this until this run in the theater is done and we get to crunch some numbers.
Ah, fun. Okay, let's get to the dirt here. Otherworld Steve, your critique of Spidey 3.
I'd like to twist this a little bit. I'd like to hear what you thought of it first.
Ah, I'm boring. I'm so predictable.
You can bullet point it. It's okay.
Yeah, well, my bullet point is I had a good time. Did I kind of roll my eyes? Sure. It's a Sam Raimi movie. I kind of miss the old school Sam Raimi with some more inventive camera angles and some quirkiness a la Evil Dead and all that. This one seemed like the most mainstream of the three Spider-Man movies. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just definitely mainstream. It's like this is definitely sanitized for the whitest, not white, but widest audience possible. Did I think it was a little over jam-packed? Yeah, probably a little bit too many plot threads going on. Eye candy? Sure. Yeah, lots of good action, definitely. in the end, I felt it was a little overlong, but I had a good time with it. I'll pick it up when it comes on DVD. I enjoyed it enough. I don't think it's the best of the three. Just kind of like X3. I had a good time with that too, but I prefer the other ones.
My immediate reaction, this is like what literally came out of my mouth as the credits came up on the screen. I turned to Becca and I said, you know, it's a shame when the story gets in the way of a good action flick. Because the action is action-packed. It's really over the top, and it really is like a comic book page come to life. And I think they did a really good job at transitioning that. But yeah, like you said, there was a story to be told, and Raimi made sure he told that story in his allotted amount of time. A lot going on. But you know, for a huge Spider-Man fan like me, I guess I don't know, either getting old or making a lot of concessions, because I didn't find it that bad. I really don't have any major gripes. I mean, yeah, I do in terms of how it was translated from the comic book, but I have to be a realist in this situation and acknowledge Hollywood's never going to give us a comic book movie. They're going to give us, you know, these very loose adaptations. And I think I've accepted that finally. So, yay, I've grown.
Yeah, yeah, my expectations were lowered too because, you know, the people that were really dogging on it, I thought, oh man, this is going to be really bad. And it wasn't. It wasn't that bad. Is it great? No. Is it enjoyable? Yeah.
And I've waited a couple of weeks to see it. So I think in that time, I've really lowered my expectations to the point where, you know, I went in expecting poop on a stick. And it was a little better than that. It was active yogurt cultures on a stick.
Yes, that's a little in-joke there, guys. I was downing some yogurt right before we started recording this show. And Steve pointed out that yogurt is, of course, made of live cultures.
Yes, that's what the active means. Active means alive. So when you're spooning up that yogurt or sucking it through the tube, you are ingesting live bacteria into your system.
Not a symbiote, but... Yeah. Okay, now here is something that did bug me. I know that Sam Raimi was always big on being able to see the actors' expressions and stuff. So, you know, you'd see Venom or the Hobgoblin or whatever, and even Spidey. And then a second later, he's always ripping off his mask so you can see the expression on his face. It's like, would you leave your freaking mask on, please? This is a comic book movie.
And, you know, that's something I was very conscious of while I was watching the film. But it's again, it's a very weird thing when you're bringing something this to the screen because, of course, you're paying the actor who's portraying the superhero a lot of money. And this actor, of course, be it because of either their profile or their, no pun intended, or their high income for the film, they want the FaceTime, you know? So, I don't know. What can you do? The same can be said for, like, every superhero movie that's ever come out, ever.
True. That is true, but as far in terms of Spidey 3, though, when I wanted to see some Venom, it's like, all right, he's cool, he's roaring, he's snarling, and then every 5 seconds it's turning back into Eddie's face.
I'll give you that. Know? No, with Venom in particular, yeah, that kind of is a shame. We did get to see enough of Topher Grace throughout the film where we didn't have to continually have to appease him. Oh, I get it now. Eddie Brock is Venom. You know, oh, how did that escape me the first 10 times?
Right, and... even towards after the final battle, you know, Peter's mask is kind of ripped, so it's half on, and you see half of his face. It's like, okay.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't they do that in the first 2 films?
Yeah. We can't remember who's under the mask. No.
My biggest gripe about Venom, okay, I'll go ahead. You got me on the negative motion now. You know, I'm so used to Venom's portrayal in the comic books and in the animated series as... You know, he's quickly merged with the symbiote, so everything's we. We must get Spider-Man, and we this, and we that. There was none of that. And the voice was very Topher Grace, and that got annoying quick. I wanted to hear some production behind that. I wanted to hear some snarling alien, but we didn't get that.
Right. Now, how about the treatment of Sandman? I actually did like the character. I actually felt sorry for him. I don't know how accurate it is to the comic book character.
You know, I really don't want to give that major plot point away for those who still haven't seen it yet. But that was a huge disappointment, only because, again, if you really want to bastardize something from the comics, for the sake of introducing a character. That was exploitation at its best or worst.
But I have to say, having gone in blind as far as knowledge of that character, I enjoyed the performance. I remember the guy, I forget the actor's name now, but I used to watch Wings. And I thought, how is this guy going to be a serious dude? And, well, he was. So, I mean, I bought it. I liked his performance.
He pulled off his role incredibly. As a matter of fact, I would call him the standout actor in the film. I would say that he is definitely one that brought the most to the plate, especially at the end. Yes, it's very emotional. And for guys like us to admit that, you know, it really did. It kind of touched the heartstrings a little bit. And you do sympathize with the character. But wow, spot on in terms of hiring the right guy for the job, because he looks exactly like his comic book incarnation.
Sweet. All right. Well, what did you guys think about Spider-Man 3? You can let us know at theBigBallBroadcast@gmail.com. Here comes our email segment. First of all, we got to give kudos to James Newton. He donated $10 to the show. That's right. And he also wrote that $10 is a small price to pay to keep my ears functioning and to contribute to a great podcast. Keep up the good work. Now, of course, James is referring to a little bit of a bet that he made a few weeks ago that Otherworld Steve should stop burping on the show because it's causing him great pain. And he offered to donate money if we would remove the burps. Well, he came through. He donated, so the burps are gone.
I got sarcastic last podcast. I called him out. I said, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And now I'm kicking myself. I have all this built-up gas, and I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can always let it go, and we'll just edit it out.
Damn.
Oh, well. But, James, seriously, thank you very much for the donation. Big thumbs up there. And if anyone else wants to throw some money, it doesn't have to be $10. It could be $2. It could be $5. It could be $1 million. Wink, wink. Just click on the PayPal link on our Blogspot page, which is bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Click on there, and you'll be able to, throw some money our way. You know, we do it for free. So it's all a good thing. Eh? Eh. Let's move on to the emails. Super Tim, a good friend of ours, writes, "Hey guys, J.K. Rowling is mentioning she may write an 8th Harry Potter book. However, this won't continue the storyline. The 7th novel, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, hits bookstores on July 21st, and while Rowling has always insisted it would be the last chapter of the phenomenally successful series, she's now considering an 8th book. Rowling says, I might do an 8th book for charity, a kind of an encyclopedia of the world, so I could use all the extra material that's not in the books," unquote. In manga news, it looks like William Shakespeare is going to get his work adapted into manga. A UK company called Self-Made Hero is going to start with Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet as its first two titles. Romeo and Juliet will be set in modern-day Japan with lots of samurai swordplay involved with abridged versions of the text. As for Hamlet, the Prince of Denmark now inhabits the cyber world of 2017 when global climate change has devastated the planet. In TV news, Battlestar Galactica appears to be continuing. According to executive producer David Icke, Battlestar Galactica is still an open-ended adventure. It will not end after the 4th season, as previously reported. Evidently, Edward James Olmos jumped the gun on confirming the show would be ending while attending the Saturn Awards this month. Icke goes on to say that the 4th season would actually be 22 episodes, which is 2 more than prior seasons. And finally, because I love this show and know Kyle watches it, Scrubs has been renewed for a season 7 consisting of 18 episodes. Zach Braff is confirmed to return, but this will more than likely be the final season. Thank you very much, Super Tim, for the scoopage there. Yeah, Scrubs. Damn fine show you can watch on Comedy Central.
I'm going to bullet point real quick my reaction to Tim's input to the Big Ball broadcast. On point one, of course Rowling isn't going to walk away from the Potter series. It's her cash cow, and rule number one in business is don't kill your cash cow. Point two, Shakespeare, manga, for some reason the first thing that popped in my head was Rain, the anime, which I absolutely hated, and to me it would just be like a manga adaptation of that. Points three and point four, I just don't care about.
There you go. I am not into Shakespeare. I never understood a friggin' thing that guy was saying. So to make that, whatever. It's not for me.
Well, see, they're trying to make it accessible to you.
Now, well, I understand that, but Okay, Galactica, I'm happy that it's still going on. I need to catch up. I usually wait for this stuff to come on DVD because I just can't keep up with TV broadcast schedules and all that. But definitely good stuff. And Scrubs, when I'm channel surfing, stop on Comedy Central, I always leave it on, and I'm always laughing. It's good stuff. So, yayelza. Let's move on to Cecil. I had to do that. I like doing the whistle thing. Cecil. That's hard to say. Never mind. Cecil writes, I wanted to talk slightly about the speech synthesis software that was mentioned in Show 62. Now, I do feel for you when you guys express worry about this kind of thing replacing real voice actors. However, I am admittedly curious to how good this kind of software is when compared to programs like TextAloud MP3, which I use to make audiobooks out of my fanfic series. I know that this is a dream at best, but it could be cool to have your DBZ narrator voice reading off stuff nonetheless. Sadly, I don't feel good enough to try to guess the name of Steve's future son. Not that I'd win anyways. LOL. Good luck to you and Steve, and have fun in life. Until the next email. All right, thanks for the kind words there, Cecil. Yeah, that whole audio software thing, man, it's just a little freaky. And I wonder, how good can it really be?
You know what? My voice actor career is over and done with, so at this point, I don't care if the industry collapses in on itself.
Hey!
Inside voice.
Oh, dude.
No, as I said last podcast, that's not going to be mainstream for quite some time.
There you go. Let's move on to our contest entries. Now, we have a little contest where you have to come up with a name for Otherworld Steve's baby, which is due in September. It's going to be a boy, and we're looking for your guess for the first and middle name. Now, the winner will get their pick of one or maybe more. We haven't decided yet, but we do have a variety of great Funimation DVDs to choose from as the prize pack for that. So, let's just move on to some more guesses. First, we have Stacy chiming in again saying, hey, guys, are we allowed to try again? If so, here's my second guess, Stephen Abraham. Nope. Okay. And, yeah, I guess you could make more than one guess because this is tough, I think, honestly.
No, yeah, sure. I'm open to that. If you have multiple guesses, guess away. Well, one guess per week. So, you know, we got to keep it fair.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Let's move on to Morgan Heslin, who says, I've decided to take a break from my lurkerness to guess the name of Steve Spawn. Okay, first name Carter, middle name Jeremy. Thanks for the guess, though, Morgan.
And you know what, Morgan? We really appreciate pulling lurkers out and actually commenting. We like that, so we applaud you for that. Thank you so much.
That's right. It's not that it necessarily takes guts. It just takes motivation because I lurk on many forums and I listen to many podcasts, but never have I given feedback. So thank you for doing that.
I guess it just goes to show you got to give something away.
I guess so, you know. Morgan also says, good job with the show. In reality, it is the only podcast that I enjoy listening to and find myself awaiting the next update. I originally came for my love of Kiba, my favorite anime character ever, but now I know that you guys are just amazing and extremely talented. Checks in the mail, Morgan.
And that's what we count on. You come for Kyle, but you stay for the other world.
There you go. See, that's good. Hey, whatever it takes, right? You know, got to hook them. All right. M.H. Martini says, hi, guys. I love your podcast. Keep up the great work. I'm submitting a name for the contest to guess the name of Otherworld Steve's upcoming bundle of joy. I will guess David Aaron for no other reason than I like the name and would name my child that if I would ever procreate. It's probably better if I do not. So there you have it. Anyway, congratulations, Otherworld Steve, and I wish you the best of luck as you enter the realm of daddiness.
Oh, gee. So, thanks. No.
All right, so the guess is David Aaron. What is it, yay or nay, Steve?
That would be a nay. My apologies, but
yep,
not it.
Okay, so thank you, everyone, for this week's entries for the Otherworld Steve's baby naming contest. No winner yet. So what are we doing? Are we upping the ante, the prize, the booty, so to speak?
Well, first, let's recap on my hints that I've given. I said that neither the first nor middle name were Otherworld, so let's get that out of the way. I said that the second name contained three syllables, And I will now give a new hint. I will say that the first name begins with a consonant, not a vowel.
Ooh, consonant, not a vowel.
As for the swag bag, I still got quite a bit here. And at this point, I'm willing to keep it pretty open-ended. We have multiple titles to choose from. I'm feeling a little generous, so I'll say you can have multiple titles of my multiple titles to choose from. Kind of leave it at that
Sweet.
For now.
Sweet. All right. Well, very good. Make sure to go to our blog spot page, which is, again, bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Sign up for email notification, and then drop us an email at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. And you can send your feedback, whether it's a contest name entry, or if you want to complain about something, hopefully not, or if you want to submit news. It could also be an MP3 format, too, guys. So if you're feeling verbose and don't want to type, you can always just use your microphone on your computer. Hopefully it's a good enough, clear quality. Record an MP3, attach it to the email, and send it to us. We'll give it a spin and all that stuff, because we encourage listener interactivity. Yay! And speaking of the blog page, we do have some comments to read here. Hi, guys. Another great episode. This is Giovanni chiming in again. Finally, I know the maker of that BGM. I was going to ask, but now the veil has been lifted. I definitely want to check it out once the album is fully made. Meanwhile, Spider-Man 4. Woot! Number 3 was simply amazing. Okay. I really hope the fourth installment gets to finally use Lizard and Venom to their fullest capacity. By the way, I do hope that software for voice acting doesn't affect the whole industry. After all, there are aspiring VAs like me out there. Take care, guys. Now, Giovanni is referring to the background music that we debuted on the last show, a complete song from Otherworld Steve's band Perimeter of the Void.
Yes, and I'm glad you liked it, and hopefully, if things go according to plan, I'll be debuting another rough demo track on next week's podcast.
Yeah, sweet. And Stacy, another of our hardcore listeners, says, "Hey guys, Steve's band kicked ass," and that's an understatement. "I've never been one to listen to video game style music, as Kyle calls it, but with this, I can make an exception. It sounds great, and I'd love to hear more. Hopefully, you'll still have time to play when the baby comes."
Yeah, because I'm just a master of good timing. Oh, my wife's expecting? Let's start recording band stuff. Oh, and write a book in the process.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Go to work 40 hours a week. And do this podcast. Yeah.
Juggle, 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 juggle. And another comment on our blog page from Evil King Macro Cranios, who says, "Hey guys, I thought that you'd be expanding this week on the news that Walmart isn't backing HD DVD after all. It seemed weird to me that they back HD when the selection of Blu-ray disc at my local Walmart far outnumbers what they have on HD. I also wanted to know if you guys had any thoughts on the PS3's online store. I don't own a Wii, so I don't know how comparable it is to the Nintendo downloadable content. Downloading HD movie trailers is pretty cool, and they started putting up old PS1 games, too. Also, I don't understand why you both complain about Hollywood running out of ideas, and then when they try something new with Transformers, you still don't like it. I figured you'd be elated that they're putting a new spin on something you used to like. Regardless, I know I'll be seeing you both at the movies July 4th.
You know, it's kind of funny that this should come up after my revelation last night. Let me back up, okay? Because my biggest complaint with Hollywood is, you know, they are running out of ideas where they have to reach into that bag and pull out of my past. And, you know, I keep using the term bastardizing because that's what I feel they do, because they're very loose adaptations. And I think the Transformers is going to be another victim of that. You know, I've said it's a movie that's going to make ass loads of money. It will warrant a sequel, and more on that later. But, you know, I fear, like, Star Wars prequel trilogy dialogue is going to be coming my way watching this film and relying on the special effects to justify this. I can't use that word, but to justify this film being made. But I did check out the brand new HD trailer online, and yeah, I'm kind of swaying on attending on July 4th now.
Yeah. My thoughts have changed, too. I always knew and always thought that, yes, it will have cutting-edge special effects. I'm sure it's got some great eye candy in it. But this latest trailer, and you can Google it online, find it, search it out, because it looks really good. Kudos to whoever put this trailer together, because now they've amped up my interest.
Yeah, let's just hope it's a good thing.
Yeah, really. Now, and I agree with Steve here. The whole thing about, you know, put a new spin on it, that's one way of saying it. Another way is to say bastardize, you know, put a new spin. Well, yeah, and no, you know, when you grow up with something, that's how you remember it. So if they change it, you know, change hurts.
Yeah, you know, we spoiled Fantastic Four 2, Rise of the Silver Surfer, last podcast by commenting about Galactus. And this week's spoiler is the fact that in the film Transformers, Optimus Prime has lips. So I won't say any more than that.
Oh, my. Now, Steve, I know you don't have a PS3, but I do. I actually do enjoy what the online store has to offer. I've downloaded a lot of trailers for movies, for games. I've downloaded demos, ton of demos. I love the fact that for Xbox 360 or PS3, you're able to download a demo for free and not just instantly blow $60 on a game. And you can also download the demos of the cheaper stuff, too, like the online-only games, such as the old PS1 titles that are available for much cheaper, you know, $20, $10, whatever. I'm pretty happy with it. I don't have a Wii yet myself. I still can't find one. I know that Steve has a Wii and is still to this day enjoying Wii Sports. What about the downloadable content on the Wii, Steve? What can you say about that?
Really, I can't say anything. Things been plugged up to the internet once, and that was just kind of just to browse around, and I haven't revisited it. I do like Wii, don't get me wrong. I like Wii Sports, but like everybody else, I'm waiting for all the really good games to come out, so I really haven't touched it much. I haven't touched my Wii in a long time.
You touch it too much, you'll go blind. The whole HD thing, yeah, I also read online that it was just a rumor blown out of proportion as far as Walmart backing HD only. I think at this point, it's still kind of a wait-and-see game. This week especially, coming up, as you listen to this podcast, this week, if you have Blu-ray or HD, on HD, you're able to get the Matrix trilogy. And on Blu-ray, you're able to get both Pirates movies. And those are huge, huge, huge titles. Now, we'll have to wait and see how the sales figures go. Will it make people go out and buy the players? It's hard to say. Again, it's all down to what movies are available. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I have both players. I have the HD drive for 360. I have a PS3 that does Blu-ray. So I wanted both bases covered. Whatever movie comes out on whatever format, I personally choose Blu-ray. I think it has a little bit of an edge visually. But HD looks really, really impressive too. So it's just a wait-and-see game, and when Walmart does officially go on record and backs either one of them, I think that it'll be a huge boon for whatever that format is, definitely.
Now, while I did read the retractions shortly after we made that story public, I still do feel that Walmart is going to make a sub-$200 HD DVD player available by this Christmas for under $200. I think that part of the story was absolutely correct. Whether or not they totally decide to 100% back HD at that point or not is yet to be seen. If they're still going to make money selling Blu-ray discs, then why the hell not still sell Blu-ray discs? And of course, they want to push their PS3s out. But, you know, let's keep in mind, Microsoft for the 360 has an HD external player that's $200. So to build a player, which again is using existing technology, on the cheap for the middle-class home consumer market, I see that as an absolute reality.
Yeah, expense for either one of these high-def players is a crucial thing for consumers because, you know, we're just now starting to, you know, see the prices come down on high-def TVs. And, we, you know, of course, the consumers want the technology, but it has to be affordable. And if you're going to bring a player for under $200, yeah, that's going to help attract a lot of people.
I agree.
So let's move on to our actual show. Let's actually start with our quick hits, news for the ADD. We're talking about DVD stuff. 300 is coming this July from Warner Home Video on single disc, two disc, Blu-ray, and HD DVDs on July 31st. It's got 90 minutes of bonus features, audio commentary with director Zack Snyder and the filmmakers, multiple featurettes, web documentaries, deleted scenes, And if you do pick up the HD DVD version, you'll get an exclusive picture-in-picture video commentary. Also, the high-def versions, Blu-ray also included, will also have an exclusive Vengeance and Valor interactive game that is not on the regular DVD version. Again, 300. Let's all do it. Yes, this is Sparta. Available July 31st.
Another big hit coming to disc, Microsoft has officially announced Halo 3's release date. In a year when Hollywood is launching its biggest blockbusters ever, a video game is set to conquer them all. Halo 3, the final chapter in the groundbreaking Halo trilogy, is set to shatter one-day entertainment sales records when it is released worldwide beginning, drumroll, Tuesday, September 25th. Created by legendary developer Bungie Studios and exclusive to the Xbox 360 video game entertainment system, Halo 3 will set a new standard for interactive storytelling and special gaming by engaging consumers worldwide in Master Chief's epic battle to save mankind.
Now, I am curious if some of our listeners are playing the current Halo 3 beta that was available if you had a copy of Crackdown. And I've read the buzz online regarding the beta, and it is not 100% home run, unfortunately. There are a lot of issues that gamers are kind of complaining about and wanting to let Bungie know that hopefully they will fix these issues by the time the final product comes out. But I am extremely psyched for Halo 3, and it's nice to finally have a date to put your to just wrap around, you know?
And there is a video side-by-side comparison on the net. Again, Google it, and you will see that Halo 3 is definitely visually superior.
Yay! Well, it better be. We've been waiting a long time. I want to see this game and enjoy it in full 1080p. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. With the new weapons and the new co-op mode, the new this, that, and the other. Yeah. Heroes Season 1 is hitting DVD and HD DVD from Universal Home Video on August 28th. This is a 7-disc set, featurettes, over 50 deleted scenes, and a real boon here, this is cool, a 73-minute cut of the original unaired pilot that includes a never-before-seen character. Woohoo! Heroes Season 1, August 28th.
Marvel has launched its new Doctor Strange website. The new website for Doctor Strange, which is coming to DVD and Blu-ray disc on August 14th. You can watch the trailer, you can get disc details, news, cast info, downloads, view photos, and more. And that URL is marvel.com/Doctor Strange.
Gotta be better than that old 70s live-action adaptation. Painful.
And has a new Gears of War spinoff been launched? Let me read this and draw your own conclusions. Most of us know about Microsoft's big bad title, Gears of War, and while not yet revealed as a game, the developers over at Microsoft have gone and made, get this, a Gears of War golf game. Epic went through all the trouble to hear from a Korean publisher about making casual games using the Unreal Engine 3, and the result so far sounds good. Now Rain, the director of Gears of War, says, "So we got an animator to make a golf swing for Marcus Fenix, and then a programmer, and took one of Gears levels and added some mounds and stuff to make the course." And they say a grenade launch mechanic was used for the ball, so that should ensure that the ball reached the hole safely. Now, unfortunately, what they're saying is the project is internal to Epic Games only, so we won't be seeing a launch anytime soon. But good things do come to those who wait, and a Gears of War golf might be coming.
You know, I'm not really into golf games, but if they can somehow integrate the chainsaw angle from Gears into this, I might want to pick it up.
I am a golf junkie, so I hear news like that and I get all tingly.
And you're about to be a 360 owner.
This is the part where everybody starts listening to all the old podcasts and goes, "Wait a minute, didn't Steve spend about a year of his life bashing the 360? Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it for,
hey,
you know.
It's okay.
I'm on record, though. People can use that against me.
Well, you know, we were both talking smack about PS3, and look what happened. I went and bought a PS3.
You did, not me.
Hey, shut up. I know. I got it for a Blu-ray player, damn it.
But, yes, there is some truth to the rumor that Otherworld Steve was going to be a 360 owner in the near future.
Ooh, so we look forward with bated breath as to your review when you get your hands on Gears of War.
Oh, yeah.
Well, while we're on the subject of the 360, let's talk about Microsoft here. They've decided to start banning Xbox 360s with modified firmwares. This includes the Hitachi LG and the Toshiba Samsung drives. They probably detect backup disks and not the modified firmware when you play them online. Now, even people using the new firmwares with disk jitter added get banned. So it looks like Microsoft found another way to detect it. Just like an Xbox One, it looks like the Microsoft bans the console unique ID, the serial number, not the live user. Microsoft will not allow anyone to log on live on a banned console. That's pretty interesting. I've heard about people, you know, getting their consoles modded and everything. And if Microsoft catches you doing that while you're on live, you'll get your account thing. But now this is talking about your console itself being banned. It's like, damn.
And for me, it's just salt in the wound. You know, here I am conceding, finally getting a 360. It's like, oh, God, now I can't mod it. What the hell?
Ah, well, just a fair warning to all you guys who are wanting to modify your 360s.
Damn it. Time for video games. This is going to be quickly bullet pointed. It is Destructoid.com's review of a game that totally came out of left field, and that is God of War Betrayal. Now, don't be looking for this on the PS2, PS3, or PSP anytime soon. This game is actually coming to cell phones. What? Now, according to Destructoid, it's essentially a 2D side-scroller, but the game is the fairest representation you can get of the series for this kind of format. In fact, the action and amount of graphical robustness found on the screen left many of their users in awe, and they said they were floored that this was actually a standard cell phone game. This game's been played so far on Blackjack and on a Sony Ericsson. We don't know what other platforms it's coming to. And because I can't find the release date, I can tell you that I know it's coming soon. I don't know when. And hopefully this game will be ported at some point to the PSP, which I think would be pretty freaking cool. Although we do have Chains of Olympus coming out, which another thing, I just got to throw this out real quick. Chains of Olympus, from what I'm reading, release date of January 08. That's rather disappointing.
That is a long-ass wait. Mobile gaming. It sounds great in concept, but, you know, if you're focusing your eyes at your cell phone for long enough, you're just going to go nuts. And the controls, you know, when you're using a numeric keypad or if you're on a Sidekick or whatever, it's not really conducive to fun gaming. So I really doubt that even God of War, as great as it is on the consoles, can really translate into a highly enjoyable mobile gaming experience.
And I think that the developers have taken that into account. I don't think that the story arc is going to be anything imperative, you know, with the overall PS2 and PS3 series and along with the PSP. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed there, because the fact that it's a 2D side-scroller already turns me off, and I don't have a compatible phone, so I, for one, will probably never, ever get to play that.
That's right. Moving on, PS3 announces their answer to Wii Bowling. High-velocity bowling will take advantage of the PS3's six-axis controller, where gamers can simply turn the controller on its side and, like the Wiimote, do the throwing motion to simulate bowling. You just hold down one of the buttons, and as you start the move, and then release so the ball can travel down the lane. High-velocity bowling will be available on the PlayStation Network Online for download this fall. Folks over at joystick.com, that's stick with a IQ at the end, not I-C-K, have previewed a beta version of high-velocity bowling, saying that it does take a little getting used to, but the HD graphics are pretty cool. It's got more realistic human players and quite a notch up over the Fisher-Price-looking avatars on the Wii. Knowing that the PS3 remotes don't have straps like the Wiimote, and of course at this point, why would it? How many accidents are just waiting to happen? You know, oh, I killed my TV with my friggin' PS3 controller. You know, God.
I'm just happy that now both Wii and PS3 owners can wake up sore after a night of bowling. Ha ha, how's it feel now?
Yeah, it just goes to show you we're a nation that is really, really out of shape. Let's talk about the movies. Danny Trejo says Machete is a go. Now, if you saw Grindhouse, and I know all five of you did, you may recall a fake trailer at the beginning for a fake movie called Machete. Rumors were out before Grindhouse's theatrical release that Machete would become its own movie, and now actor Danny Trejo, Machete himself, has come forth and confirmed it. It may even be Robert Rodriguez's next movie. Now, Rodriguez is slated to begin shooting Sin City 2 this summer in Austin, Texas, but Trejo has stated that Machete may be shot before that. Trejo, who is a Rodriguez regular, will also appear in Sin City 2, but his role in that is unknown at this point. As far as Machete's concerned, half an hour of footage has already been shot. Now, there's talk of releasing Machete in time with the Grindhouse DVD, but Trejo didn't have any details as far as that's concerned. Now, I personally think this would be best to release it as a bonus disc. You know, when Grindhouse comes out, maybe, it, you know, disc 2, Machete. But you never know. They may decide to make it its own release or maybe even go theatrically, even though Grindhouse tanked at the box office. Now, I loved Grindhouse, and I think it's going to be a huge smash on DVD. So anyone who loved Grindhouse is automatically going to gravitate towards seeing Machete, no matter what form it takes.
I might watch Grindhouse after Serenity. That's about all I can say.
Yeah, and it's, what, 2 years going on now?
Going on 2 years.
For Serenity?
Mm-hmm. I have a projected date, 4th of July weekend. Planning on that.
No, you're busy. You're seeing Transformers, remember?
I just keep shooting myself in the foot. Oh, and speaking of shooting yourself in the foot, let's talk about the new Terminator trilogy planned. After much talk and posturing over the future of the Terminator franchise in recent years, something surprising has happened. Producers Marcio Cassar and Andy Vajna have given up their baby. The Halcyon Corp has acquired the franchise rights to the popular The Terminator movie series and intends to make a new trilogy that would anchor the movie company. Terminator 4 is going to be based, get this, on a script by John Bransanto and Michael Ferris, who wrote Terminator 3. And Halcyon plans to immediately begin production of the film with the hopes of a summer 2009 release. Now, according to this first article, neither James Cameron or original star Arnold Schwarzenegger will be involved in the project, but I do have information that says that Arnold Schwarzenegger is rumored to have signed on as the executive producer of the Halcyon Terminator films, and this is being reported by Movie Hole. So, if you get him attached as a producer, who knows? Maybe a little cameo.
Ooh. Now, if you are a big Terminator fan, TV will have the Sarah Connor Chronicles soon, and actually there are some preview clips online. I think IGN has some. If not, just Google it, but you can see some preview clips from that. I'm not even sure what network will be running that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we just put it out there. You can make up your mind if you want to go watch those clips or not.
Okay, now, we talked about Transformers, but it looks like one of the stars of the movie is saying that the sequel's going to happen, right?
Yes, apparently it does seem that Transformers, not even released in theaters yet, is already greenlit for part two. MTV talked to Transformers star Megan Fox, who says she has signed off for a sequel should one go ahead. Now, the quote is, actor Megan Fox, who joins Shia LaBeouf as the main human contingent of Michael Bay's Ultimate Robot Brawl, has confirmed to MTV that she has signed for a sequel, and she says, quote, I hear they're writing it now, so we'll see.
All I know about Megan Fox is she's hot.
Well, with a name like Fox, she better be.
Yay for more eye candy.
But I think that was an assumption we all had going into that anyway.
Yeah, you know, Transformers, it's a franchise.
Yeah, trilogy. Thank you, Mr. Lucas, for introducing that into the lexicon.
That's right. Now, we also have news about He-Man. We reported in the past that there will be another live-action adaptation. Of course, if you go back to 1987, you may or may not have seen the Abomination starring Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, Punisher, yeah.
And even Courtney Cox, well before Friends. Boy, it was just god-awful. But apparently they think He-Man still has an audience and has a chance at the box office.
Well, according to Ain't It Cool News, they've learned that Justin Marks is writing the script for a new He-Man movie. Now, Marks has done some other high-profile stuff. Look him up on IMDb. But what's he doing now? Well, he's also scripting Supermax, which is the Green Arrow prison film, Voltron, and Street Fighter, the movie. Hopefully not with Jean-Claude Van Damme. But Joe Silver is going to be producing He-Man as soon as Marks finds time to write it, and Warner Brothers is going to be releasing the film if it makes it through the development process. And I, for one, hope it dies in development hell.
Yes, one can hope. My fingers are crossed.
Although it's kind of ironic because Hollywood has, you know, I guess, made some attempts at comebacks or correcting the abortions they originally released. You know, the second Punisher film is far superior to the first one. And again, with Dolph Lundgren. And the second Hulk movie sounds like it's going to be better than the first one. So we'll see.
Yeah, I did read that Thomas Jane has had to pull out of Punisher 2. So I think they'll go ahead and make Punisher 2. But yet we'll have yet another interpretation of Frank Castle. Oh, boy. Well, if you have XM satellite radio, chances are you've heard of Opie and Anthony, the shock jock morning show whose adult-oriented antics are on par with rival Sirius Satellite Radio's Howard Stern. Now, to catch you up, Opie and Anthony recently had Homeless Charlie on the air recently, who mentioned basically wanting to rape Secretary of the State Condoleezza Rice and George Bush's wife. Now, after the recent Don Imus debacle over racist comments on terrestrial radio, XM decided to suspend Opie and Anthony and their popular morning talk show for 30 days. A forum poster on Gizmodo claims that they weren't suspended for the content itself, but for bad-mouthing XM management for making them apologize in the first place. Now, a few months ago, both XM and Sirius announced they would be merging. Of course, something like this puts a severe kink in the proceedings. Why? Well, Opie and Anthony fans are canceling their XM subscriptions. Some are even going as far as to smash their XM radios in protest. Advertisers are even pulling ads. Lou Galley is general manager of NashvilleCoffee.com and said, quote, "It is apparent that XM Radio is beholden to crybaby special interest groups who cannot separate humor from reality. It is also unfortunate that XM Radio executives don't have the guts to stand up for their on-air talent," unquote. This is just insane because XM Radio, you pay for it just like cable. You get the unadulterated, unfiltered, uncensored content. You know you're going to hear stuff like this all the time. It's a little bit different from the Don Imus thing where he was on terrestrial radio. If you don't want kids listening to it, they could come across it. XM Radio, that is completely different.
Now, some other things have come to light since this initial report, and that is, and again, take this with a grain of salt, but somebody on the inside who they claim anyway would have privileged information says not only were they suspended for this amount of time, but they were actually terminated during this hiatus. And yeah, advertisers are leaving in droves, mainly because you're losing listeners. So why are you going to continue to pay top dollar to have ads run basically to a ghost town now? Some advertisers, you know, the sky is falling, so that's their attitude. They're just pulling out now while they can.
Yeah, and XM couldn't have seen this coming. The Opie and Anthony listener base, they're trying to cancel subscriptions, and XM is actually pulling stuff like alternative moves, like giving them like a free 6 months and not actually canceling their accounts. Other people have reported that while sitting on hold for 2 hours, eventually get through to customer service and are able to cancel. But I can imagine XM is just, you know, crapping their pants going, what are we doing? Oh, this is just, you know, big cluster.
Yeah, the forums are really heated up right now. A lot of people reporting actually just being hung up on blatantly when calling customer service now.
Oh, man, that's insane.
We live in the age of internet. People are recording their phone calls and they're making them available on these forums. So there's only so much denial XM can do about the situation.
Yeah, yeah. And how are they going to fix this? I don't really know. I mean, can you bring Opie and Anthony back? Will you what happens after that? Because this is just like spiraling out of control.
But, you know, I have to really put in my two cents here. It does reek of special interest because it makes you wonder, and you brought this up with me a couple days ago, how somebody like Howard Stern gets away with what he does. Granted, he's on satellite also, but I mean, there are so many things that I've heard throughout Howard Stern's career that would make a very great case for him to get thrown off the air as well as his very vocal stance on the FCC. So it just really reeks to me of politics.
Yeah. Now, these shows that say very shocking things for the sake of being shocking, and there's an audience for that. If you don't want to listen, you don't have to subscribe and pay extra money to listen to this. You know what you're getting into when you're paying for satellite radio. You're going to get the unfiltered content. So to just suddenly come out of nowhere and decide that oh, no, how dare they say that? It's like, no. They covered their bases. You don't like what they have to say, don't listen.
So can't start yelling and cussing and swearing because it's not going to solve anything. I mean, it's pretty much what you said earlier. It's a wait-and-see thing. Is the reaction to the subscribers going to make any difference in the situation? We can't report on that right now.
Yeah, and having a character on the show, it's not like Opie and Anthony were giving their personal opinion about wanting to, you know, rape these high officials of government. It wasn't that. It was like this character on the show, and it's all, yeah, it's very shocking, but, you know, it's humor. I mean, yeah, you may call it sick, it's twisted, whatever you want to call it, but they have a right to say that. The FCC doesn't govern satellite radio, nor should they.
Right, and the same thing goes for cable. And I think any respectable parent knows, you know, you don't subscribe to the Playboy channel and have that playing, you know, while your child's home and awake and watching TV.
Exactly. Now, if you have opposing views or if you're on our side, whatever, we are more than open to listen to it. You can send your email to thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com or leave a voice comment on our listener line. That number is 818-793-0896. Again, that's 818-793-0896. Seriously, chime in about this. I want to hear what people have to say. Is it censorship? Did Opie and Anthony deserve to be, you know, taken off the air? What do you think about their fans, you know, protesting? Is it going to do any good to, you know, smash your radios and cancel your account? Whatever your opinion is, we would love to hear about it. All right, well, that's all the content we have for now. There will be more, of course, in the future. Now, again, I will be gone the next two episodes, but we do have some content that will be in its place. And, well, I'll tease a little bit. If you're a fan of voice acting, you'll be interested. You'll definitely be interested and want to download the next two shows because we've got some good things coming up.
That's a good tease. I like that.
Yeah, but we'll leave it at that. But, yeah, listen to the end credits. Marie will tell you how to get in touch with the show. And we encourage feedback on any of the stories you hear. Or if you want to contribute stories, we'll, of course, credit you and all that good stuff because it's all about the listeners here on the Big Ball Broadcast. And we have a good time. So thank you for downloading the show. Until next time, this is Kyle Hebert.
And this is Otherworld Steve.
See ya.
Visit our official blog page at bigballbroadcast.blogspot.com. Donations are graciously accepted and appreciated. Please email us at thebigballbroadcast@gmail.com. Additional announcements by Maria Vu. Remember to stay geeky.
That was totally wicked!